You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
If you're just joining us, few items to update you on have to do with the NBA playoffs. According to the mothership, Kawhi Leonard is doubtful for tonight's Game 5 between the Utah Jazz and the LA Clippers in Utah. And The Athletic is reporting Chris Paul has entered the NBA's health and safety protocol, sidelined for an indefinite period of time. No information, no updates in the last hour. And depending on medical circumstances, an isolation period could be shorter for a vaccinated individual. We don't know if Chris Paul is vaccinated, but right now, his status up in the air for the start of the Western Conference Finals. According to sources, the Suns facing the winner of the Jazz-Clippers series, which is tied at 2 games apiece. The NBA has yet to release the schedule for the Conference Finals, but if there is a Game 7, Jazz-Clippers, that will be played on Sunday, and then you might expect Tuesday night for Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, but that's just speculating here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We had a poll question for the first hour. I don't think we can stay with it because we had a runaway winner or loser.
Yeah, who is to blame for the Bucks loss? Everyone says it's the coach.
All right, Mike Budenholzer, what do you want to do for hour two?
Okay, my question about whether they should play James Harden in Game 6 didn't really take off. But is there a question there? Should they just ditch Game 6 because they're going to be so tired from Game 5?
Well, if that's the case, then you don't have anybody play. You know, you don't have Kevin Durant play, James Harden. No, you have to go out there and play. And the question is, at what point do you say, all right, we're not going to win this. Now we can rest up for Game 7. I think there's a little bit of strategy there for Steve Nash and the Brooklyn Nets of, we're going to try to win this game. How all out do we go with this? How many minutes can I play James Harden? Because I think if you're expecting Milwaukee to play better and maybe hold on to a lead at home, and therefore your game plan will be, we have to get healthy, we have to get ready for Game 7. But I don't think you can just go out there and go, you know, Durant's not going to play and James Harden's not going to play just so we can rest him up for Game 7. Yeah, McClubb.
And no word on Kyrie yet, too. But no. I feel like the Bucks have a really great chance here. But Game 7 in Brooklyn, if all three of those guys are there, do you give your Bucks, like, what's the road here for them?
I'm not confident at all that they can figure it out going back to Brooklyn for a Game 7. If they didn't get the call or calls in Game 5, they're not going to get them in Game 7 there. This is where, if you're Milwaukee, you need to work on things in Game 6 that you can take with you to Game 7. You have to win Game 6. Now you have to give the Nets something to adjust to. And you got to figure out what to do with Kevin Durant. And I know that sounds silly to say, well, of course they do. But they do, but they haven't done anything with Kevin Durant. And in-game adjustments. You know, Ty Lue is very good at in-game adjustments. He's made some in-game adjustments or after halftime. The Clippers coach has done a pretty good job with that. The Milwaukee Bucks do not do that. They haven't done that. Here is Kevin Durant talking about what he did last night, which was everything.
I know the perception of me is that I can score the basketball well, but, you know, any team that I've played on, I've been asked to do pretty much everything from rebounding to defending to initiating to scoring. I might not be, I might not do it all the time, but I do a little bit of everything out there. So I knew at some point that coach would ask me to screen, rebound, defend, bring the ball up, score, shoot three. So I just work on everything I can and practice and and when the game comes around, I just got to be ready to pull, you know, be ready to do anything. So tonight was one of those nights.
Played 48 minutes, 49, 17, and 10. Series now heading back to Milwaukee with the Nets up 3-2. The Nets were down by as many as 17. The only team this postseason with multiple comebacks of at least 12 points down. And give credit to Jeff Green, who stepped up. Had 9 3-pointers. Gosh, does Jeff Green go back to the Seattle Supersonics? Was Jeff Green with Kevin Durant in Seattle that one year that Kevin was there? Feels like Jeff Green has been around a long time. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, good call. He was Kevin Durant, Earl Watson, Nick Collison, Jeff Green was 21. Kevin Durant was 19.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. And I have a great book suggestion for you. John Wertheim has written a book. Now, he's a 60 Minutes correspondent, but he's written a book about the year 1984. And it's not just sports, but it's an incredible, you know, reflection back on 1984 and everything that happened in 1984. But he also weaves in the music. You know, Springsteen exploded in 84, not literally. Prince. But you have all of these events that happened. Michael Jordan, you know, with his explosion there. Martina Navratilova in tennis. Wayne Gretzky in hockey. But John has this book, and I'm halfway through it. And it's a great read. Easy read. Fun read. And I do make the book, by the way. I have just a quick mention for, you know what? Why don't you guys entertain yourselves there, and I'll go get the book, and then I'll read you.
Are you going to read aloud?
Yes, I'm going to read aloud.
Dan is now heading back to his private man cave back there.
Hey, Paul, what do you think the follow-up will be to this book?
L. John Wertheim, 1985.
All right, so I have the book here, and let me see. I actually wrote things down. You know, I'd put little markers in the page because there are certain things that I wanted to go back and remember. And there's great stuff on the USFL. Great. And I covered that. I was there with the trial when they won $1 and it was trebled to $3 after they sued the NFL. Let me see. Where is this great passage with me in here in this book? Let me see. Oh, here it is. So it's about David Stern, the former NBA commissioner. Outside of basketball circles, David Stern's profile was modest. So modest that when he was announced as commissioner, a young CNN sports reporter, Dan Patrick, had the idea to take to the streets for a shticky piece asking New Yorkers if they knew the name of the new NBA commissioner. Howard Stern, they knew. Isaac Stern, the violinist, drew a few mentions. David Stern didn't register. That's it. That's my passage in the book.
Nice.
Well,
are you in the index? Like Dan Patrick,
yeah,
page 254?
Yeah. But the shticky part, I didn't like that. But I'll take that up with Wertheim at another juncture here. Yes, McLeod.
Is book club in effect? Is this?
You know, Father's Day book club, because Pappy Land with Wright Thompson, can't go wrong with that. Wonderful book. Page Turner. And Glory Days, the summer of 1984, 90 days that changed sports and culture forever. That's the book. And John will join us coming up. Yes, Paul?
We have a tagline for the Dan Patrick Show book club. We don't read them, but we recommend them.
Yeah, but I do. I read Pappy Land, and I'm reading Glory Days right now. Yes, Todd?
So you actually had the palaver to do that to David Stern,
okay.
This man on the
okay.
street?
Okay, all right.
It all started there.
Yes, it did, a little bit. The commissioner and I went back and forth. I had a wonderful relationship with him. Well, at least I thought we did. But I enjoyed, he was very tough. Like he could turn real quick. And we had our battles on the radio show. But I will say he was a big supporter of mine. He wanted me to host the NBA. He knew I loved the NBA. And we had good conversations privately as well. And when he passed away, some people in the front office of the NBA asked if I wanted to attend the funeral in New York City. I wasn't able to because I was doing the show that morning, but I would love to have been there to pay my respects to David Stern, because what he did, when he did it, how he did it, really remarkable, because that was a dead product. You know, there was a report that came out in the LA Times that said basically the NBA was full of drug addicts. And they were trying to get corporate America to buy into the NBA. And they were very lucky with Magic and Larry. And then you had Michael. And then the NBA never looked back. But in the moment, what David Stern was up against, and, you know, he talks about the NBA draft. Like, you didn't even have Michael Jordan at the NBA draft. They were in Indianapolis with Bob Knight preparing for the Olympic team. And I remember covering the 84 draft But the star players weren't there. 85, when Patrick Ewing was there, then you had the star players there. But it's really a very interesting book and a chance to just open up the scrapbook and remember what happened in 1984. And there was so much. And John will join us coming up here. Yes, McLovin.
I'd love to see some of these Dan Patrick man on the streets. When's the last time you did that? It's kind of like Billy Eichner, or is that what, like, funny?
I don't know if it was funny, but this was the first time all four commissioners sat down together. I had Pete Rozelle, I had David Stern. John Ziegler was the president of the NHL. I don't even think he was called the commissioner. I think he was the president of the NHL. And then baseball. Peter Ueberroth, and they all sat down in New York. And what was interesting is the makeup artist, Leslie, I said, look, when they're in the chair, if they're talking to one another, let me know what they say. Because I thought they might give some information, between two of the commissioners or three of the commissioners. And as it turned out, one of the commissioners was saying, let's make sure we don't give him too much. Like they were sort of conspiring to not go crazy here. And so when they sat down, I knew it was already going to be tough. It was an hour show and I had to try to get information out of them. But the fact that they were programming each other, let's not give him too much here. And they probably did a pretty good job in that. But I have this, I look like I'm 15 years of age sitting down with these four guys. But it never happened before. And was very, very lucky, fortunate to be able to get that opportunity. Yes, Todd?
Is that when collusion in sports first started? Them all coming together to decide not to give you anything remotely interesting when you interview them? Some dead air going on right now.
Well, you ran out of breath there when you were doing your stunts. Yeah, I know. Hey, let's knock it out. Let's get the limerick out of the way. You got the Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks.
I do have a Kevin Durant-related limerick.
Yeah, let's do the limerick here, and then we'll take a break.
Now, that performance was fine. For Brooklyn, a very good sign. There's no such thing as can't when it comes to Durant. Played the whole game and scored 49.
All right. I like it. You know, it's just over quickly.
You know? It's pretty painless. He ripped the Band-Aid off.
Yes, Eaton.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff from Todd. I like the delivery.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being supportive of my coworker.
Okay.
Good
but,
stuff.
But he's not being serious.
Yes.
I'm seriously supporting my coworker.
Okay.
I was going to try to go
that's good stuff.
I was going to try to go with, now that performance was fine for Brooklyn, a very good sign. Is that a bad Ryan?
What are you from, Transylvania?
What, are you Count Dracula?
Was a very bad
time. That was my bad Ryan accent.
There's no such thing as can't when it comes to Durant.
What rhymes with Harden?
Count Chocula. Yes, McLovin.
I still don't know what's going on here. Is this a giant setup with Todd with these limericks? I don't know what's real and what's not.
What do you mean?
Do you really like these limericks?
Yes. Yes, I do.
This is what you don't hear. You'll laugh at them, Dan, and then you hear in the background McLovin go, he doesn't really like these, does he? You just hear like an aside and behind.
I appreciate the effort put in by Todd. Let's put it this way. Would you rather have mock headlines?
Oh, good point.
Okay. Would you rather have sports-related names that are attached to holidays?
Not in a good way to make fun of.
So let's enjoy the limericks.
How about stung by a bee or limericks? Which would you rather have?
Yes, Seton.
What if instead of going all in on one until it's just squeezed, the life from it is just drained from all of us, really? What if he mixed it up between all of those things? Like, what if once in a while he did like, hey, I have sports-related names, and then the next time was like, oh, I got mock headlines. And
No.
Like, hey, guess what? I wrote a limerick.
No. I'm going to my grave. I'm falling on the sword with limerick. Mm. I can't do the sports names anymore. There's no creativity whatsoever. And they're all from the 1970s and 80s.
I just think we could have some fun with it.
You know, we're almost acting like Todd's not in the room when we're saying this. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, the limericks are pleasant. I totally understand
it's
what
quick.
You're saying.
It's lively. It's light. It's just,
witty yeah. to some extent.
Yes. It's like a summer drink. You know, it's just nice and it's okay. Thank you, Todd. We'll take a break. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm taking in everyone's constructive criticism or whatever you want to call that.
I know, but this happens, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, well, you know, social media is not being nice right now. I'm saying I like the limerick.
I'm saying I get mixed reviews, but then there's that portion of social media where they're like, I'm not sure what to think of it. I guess dead in the dead nuts thing.
You know what they are? They're fun. They're not funny, but they're fun, and I like it.
Yeah, it's not meant to be hysterical or...
It's like a rom-com. You know, it's just nice. No, you know, not serious. Nobody dies.
It's like a little spring, like summer breeze kind of thing.
Like everybody loves Raymond, you know. If you miss an episode, it's okay. It's just nice.
And it only lasts about 12 seconds, maybe.
Yeah. Let's take a break here. More phone calls coming up and a great book, Glory Days. We'll talk to the author, John Wertheim. He'll join us in the On Deck Circle right after this. White House has issued alerts against increased ransomware attacks, urging all organizations to take critical steps to protect their businesses and individuals. It feels like there's nobody off limits here. And it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day, because we put so much information at risk on the internet. And in an instant, a cyber criminal could steal what's yours. And it could be your credit, could be money, and that's why it's great that there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. They can do a whole lot with your social security number. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now, save up to 25% off your first year. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to lifelock.com. Promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Catch the U.S. Open on NBC Sports at Torrey Pines. Did you see where there's, you know, I got comments from Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I'll have that for you coming up, because they were going to pair those two together, and DeChambeau said no, but the agent has since denied that, but I have some comments from both of those guys coming up, and you can see it on Golf Channel and NBC Sports. The U.S. Open gets underway tomorrow from Torrey Pines. I told you about a book yesterday with Wright Thompson. It's called Pappyland, and can't recommend that enough. And the same with this book called Glory Days. John Wertheim has the book, The Summer of 1984 and the 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever, now available online wherever books are sold. John, I'm 100 pages in. No, a little over 100 pages in. I got to the point where you mentioned me when I was at CNN, and I was okay with it, but, you know, you threw in the word shticky. And I don't know if that's in a good way or bad way, John. Can you help? Because it's ruined. It's basically ruined my night last night.
Oh, come on! It was in the best possible sense. The NBA has a new commissioner, a guy named David Stern, in 1984, and he's an internal candidate, and is so little known that an ascending broadcast personality.
Didn't say ascending broadcaster.
Dashingly handsome.
You didn't say that.
We'll tell the story. So it was fun. You asked people on the street if they knew Isaac Stern, Daniel Stern, or David Stern, I believe. But
Howard,
I think the real point is Howard Stern. But I think the real point is people forget that David Stern was not this celebrated commissioner when he took over the job in 84. And this little-known lawyer quickly got to work.
There's a great quote in here, and it's early in the book. It says, "History doesn't send out invitations in advance." Apparently somebody else is calling John right now. You know, he works for 60 Minutes, so wait, are you on assignment right now, John?
You say that jokingly. Forgive that. Crazy day.
You have "History doesn't send out invitations in advance." I love that line. And, you know, going back and reading all the things that happened in 1984, I don't know if there was a point where you go, there is enough to be able to write a book about this? Like, was there a certain number that you were looking at to go, if I get to that, then I can write this book?
Once we had eight. No, I mean, the real challenge, like, so all this stuff happens in 84, right? You've got the ascent of Jordan, and he's sort of the spine of the book. Imagine you're David Stern, and you've got bird magic in a game seven. And then a few days after that, you come to New York for your first draft, and, oh, right, it's Sam Bowie, Olajuwon, Jordan Barkley, and among your top five picks. But, I mean, the real – so all the stuff happens, as you say, and it's Gretzky wins his first cup, and you've got the profitable Olympics and Karate Kid. And the real mystery to me was sort of why. Was it just coincidence, or was there something that really was going on in the culture that was – elevating sports and making it such a big deal in this compressed period of time.
And the importance that music played in writing this book, because you do mention there's Springsteen and Prince on the cover. MTV was just getting big at that moment. So that intersection, how did you try to weave that in?
What cable and ESPN was to sports that summer, which was sort of like, holy cow, we've got this force and we can get it anytime we want. And it's a new experience. And by the way, there's going to be some real money here. It was really similar to what MTV did to music. And, you know, this was just as we went from like, oh, there's a game of the week to, wow, I can get this anytime I want. 24/7, you could not only listen to the artists that you loved on the radio, but you could see these little mini movies that went with all the songs.
Is there a moment that stood out because it's something that you didn't realize in the moment, or maybe you'd forgotten about it?
That's a good question. I mean, I think some of it was just how big an impact Jordan had. As much as we know about Jordan, you know, we all know the six rings. We can all do our sort of the last dance recitation. But I think people don't realize how much he changed the model and the leverage of talent and the athlete. And this 550 grand, whatever it was, the Bulls are paying me, that's nice, but I can make a lot more money from a lot of different places. That hadn't really happened before him. The other one, I'm sure you probably heard this story, but I didn't realize this whole victory tour, you know, Michael Jackson, most popular man on the planet. His parents say this Thriller album's great, but you got to make us rich. You got to make your brothers rich. They do a victory tour. Don King somehow manages to insinuate himself as the promoter, but the tour is bankrolled by the Sullivan family. They collateralize Sullivan Stadium. The tour is an absolute fiasco. The brothers hate each other. Michael's bringing along Emmanuel Lewis and Brooke Shields, and the brothers don't talk to him. And it loses so much money that the Sullivan family sell the team. Through a number of twists, it ends up with this gentleman named Bob Kraft. And you could make a credible case, I think, the Patriots dynasty doesn't happen if Michael Jackson doesn't do the stupid victory tour.
There's so many things that are connected here. I love the Martina Navratilova stuff because people forget how brave she was when she defected. And really, she was part of the modern athlete. Her and Jordan, at about that same time, Mike had hired Tim Grover to be his trainer. It was okay to lift weights. Martina said it's okay to look like this, to be in shape. And I thought that those were very interesting parallels between those two.
An esteemed weekly sports publication that will go unnamed made fun of Martina. You know, she used a supercomputer to check on the statistical tendencies of her opponents. Now we would call that analytics. And, you know, she had, I think the quote was like, she had vines of gnarled veins crawling up her arms. Well, gee, she got herself in shape to play a sport. That's a crazy thought. And she had an entourage of people that acted as a support team. She was way ahead of her time. And it wasn't just that she didn't get credit for it. She was mocked. This was like something you made fun of her for using a supercomputer. And in 1984, she was basically playing Moneyball with tennis.
He's John Wertheim, the Sports Illustrated executive editor and, of course, the author of Glory Days. You can see him on 60 Minutes. It's the summer of 1984, the 90 days that changed sports and culture forever. Now available online wherever books are sold. I was in the early stages of my career, of course, an ascending career, but I was there to cover the USFL, and I went to those press conferences at Trump Tower where you'd have the big waterfall and the escalator, and, you know, if it was Doug Flutie or Herschel Walker, I covered the USFL trial. Like, these are all, these bring, like, I get twitch. I start to twitch a little bit when I think back to that. What did you find out about Trump then that maybe would have braced you for us that this is who Trump is now?
That is a great way to put it. Give him this. He's committed to the role. I mean, you mentioned press conference and escalators and Trump Tower, and be sure use that playbook again. No, I mean, you go back, and part of that, Jeff Perlman wrote a great book about Trump and the USFL, and there were some great stories from 84 is sort of when he became this national figure. And you read those stories, and it's amazing to compare that to, you know, Trump plays fast and loose with the truth, but he sure has a certain magnetism. There was a story that Willie Geist's dad wrote an article, and it said something like, you know, riding around with Donald Trump is like, you know, riding around Manhattan with a motorcycle with no windshield. You get a lot of bugs in your teeth, but it sure is fun. And basically, he is what he is. And the same sort of the same playbook he used with the USFL, the same way there was a lot of vagueness. There was a lot of media. I mean, Charlie Steiner, who is the sort of the voice of the Generals, tells a story. He said the players love Trump because after the game, he'd go to the locker room and he'd say, you know, everyone, it's Trump. T-R-U-M-P, same as the building, and he would hold the press conferences, and the players would say, "Fine, I'm leaving. I'm going out to dinner. You can hear and do the press conference." But it's a lot of the same MO in 1984 that it would be 32 years later.
How close do you think the USFL or some of these teams came to being absorbed by the NFL?
That's a great question, because I mean, the one thing that became clear to me researching this book is, we cannot underestimate the force, and you know this better than anyone, the force that is cable television. And this was right around the time that these networks were realizing you could charge the cable system the subscriber fee and totally change the economics. And by the way, these networks all need programming. And if Trump, I mean, I think single-handedly, Trump did to the USFL, like, you know, what Isaiah Thomas did for the CBA in basketball. I mean, Trump just wrecked this league. If they had hung around and gotten a cable TV deal, whether it would have been a competing league or whether it would have had to have been absorbed ABA, NBA style, the USFL, had they hung out a couple more years, I think they really could have made it.
What stood out at the 84 Olympics?
Michael Jordan. No, I think what stood out was you had this boycott, and everyone thought that this was the death of the Olympics, right? Yeah, you had terrorism in Munich, and Montreal was this financial disaster, and a boycott in 80, and the Soviets aren't going to compete in 84, and it didn't matter. And for a variety of reasons, Peter Ueberroth comes in for a lot of credit in this book. There was no terrorism. There was no drama. We all watched this. It was a slow summer. We all got Big Macs and fries when Americans won medals. It was the highest, you know, the most viewed program in American TV history at the time. Peter Ueberroth, yeah, we all love Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis and Jordan and Knight, who I see to your left. But Peter Ueberroth was the MVP of those Olympics.
The stuff with Jordan's interesting, going back to where he wanted to stay for his senior year at North Carolina. And it almost felt like Dean said, hey, you're going to the NBA. And the fact that Bob Knight, it didn't take long for him to realize that this is the greatest basketball player talent-wise he had ever seen, trying to convince the Blazers to take Michael Jordan. And they said, you know, hey, we got Clyde Drexler and Jim Paxson. We have no room for Michael Jordan. Those were great stories there. Great nuggets.
Knight's quote to Stu Inman, the GM of the Blazers, who was a friend of his. And you're right. The guy said, hey, we don't need Jordan. We already got a swing man. We got this Drexler guy. We have, you know, ironically enough, we have Jim Paxson. And Knight's quote was, trust me, take Jordan, play him at center if you have to. You don't want to miss on this kid. For whatever his flaws were, give Bob Knight credit for that one.
Toughest interview to get for the book was who?
The interview that never happened, which was Jordan. He's tough. And, you know, I was saying this the other day. You go back and you look at 1984. He is so cool, and he's funny, and he's a prankster. And, you know, I mean, I certainly understand how fame can wear you down. But to me, it's a bit of a pity that he's been a little reclusive, because he was great as a 20-year-old, great as a 21-year-old. And I think that the fame monster sort of beat him up. But no, people were great for this book. And I think it's because David Stern was a real resource. And he was basically saying, everyone remembers it, right? Everyone knows Magic and Bird, and people have these memories, but it's far enough away, so I don't have to worry about, you know, saying something I shouldn't. So people were great when I got them, but Jordan, full disclosure, Jordan declined my outreach.
Well, and I went through this firsthand. I was very lucky to do those interviews after he was winning championships, but he was going to be the number one athlete, the sports century number one athlete. And we couldn't get him for an interview. And we were chasing Michael Jordan down to, he was going to be the number one athlete. And then we like, Mike, you're going to be the number one athlete. Everybody else has done an interview here. And we eventually got him. I had to go to New York last minute to his hotel, set it up. He came in from golfing and he sat down and I don't know how long he went and I don't even know how good it was, but we would have looked really bad with the number one athlete and he wouldn't sit down. But I just think he gets to that point where what does he need to answer anymore? But if you had one question, you knew you were going to get an honest answer from Michael Jordan, what would you have asked?
I wondered whether in 1984, he had a sense of where this was going. He was supremely confident. He knew about, he understood the business right away. I mean, David Falk did not have to convince him that he needed his own signature shoe. I think Michael Jordan, for as much as we talk about him, I don't think he's gotten enough credit for really changing the balance of power in terms of athlete and management. And I wonder in 1984, if he was already onto this. And I think, you know, I mean, you and I know this, right? Some athletes are cut out for this, and some athletes, they are what they do. Maybe they're just not that interesting. Maybe they've been burned by the media. I mean, Michael Jordan, go back and read about, you know, his quotes and the way he conducted himself. You know, his decision, we've never experienced a fraction of his fame. I certainly haven't. But this guy has Peyton Manning's sense of humor and Barkley's instincts. I mean, at age 20, at age 21, he was fantastic as a character. So it's a bit of a pity to me that he's so reclusive now, because he had it in him to be this figure who was a lot more prominent in the call. I mean, his call, his decision. I hope he, you know, enjoys the golf, but I do think he had it in him to be Peyton Manning or Barkley if he wanted to.
Yeah, but I look back differently on Jordan. His mom made him go to Portland and meet with Nike. You had the two different agents who were going to represent him. They kind of said, you get Sam Perkins and you get Michael Jordan. Sonny Vaccaro is the one who deserves the credit for Michael Jordan being that, because Sonny said, give him all the money. Let's do a shoe based on a player. That was unheard of, because you had Magic and Larry were doing Converse. And as you point out in the book, Converse didn't really invest in these individuals. They just basically gave you a check. Sonny Vaccaro had the wisdom to say, we're going to create a shoe for Michael Jordan. That's the genius there. Mike just went along for the ride.
Success has many fathers. You know, George Raveling played a role. I mean, I think some of this too, you know, David Falk is this tennis agent and he has this boss, Donald Dell, who's, and Falk is really kind of, you know, it's like entourage. I mean, you know, David Falk is really trying to make a name for himself, and he seizes on Jordan and says, this guy is charismatic. He's playing in a big media market. He understands intuitively what I'm trying to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think Sonny gets credit. I think Raveling gets credit. I think Falk gets credit. But I think Jordan got it. And Jordan understood that there was a lot more money on the table for an athlete than what his rookie contract with the Bulls was going to pay him. And Jordan really, you know, Jordan leaned into the role, right? I mean, he did the shoots and the limos, and he did the Mars Blackman. And Jordan understood intuitively that he wasn't going to make nearly as much money from the Bulls as he should have, but there were these other revenue sources. And I think this is a real, you know, we talk about sort of activism and the, you know, card 68 Olympics and even more recently Kaepernick. But I think Jordan understanding commerce is one of these pivot points in sports history that we're going to be talking about.
I think that's true with Jordan and Martina understanding that, speak up, use your voice. Mm-hmm. I think those were the two things that stood out so much with the book so far that I've read. And you did a great job. It's a great read, John. And I can't wait for the sequel, 1985. That I'm sure you're working on that right now, right?
I'm trying to think. What we get to? We get Lakers and Celtics again. We got that going for us, but I'm not sure it will be quite as pivotal. No, I appreciate it.
There's the Patrick Ewing, their lottery, the Chicago Bears. Come on, John, do some research.
Done.
Here.
Yeah, where's my agent? No, you're right. We got frozen frozen envelopes. We're on it. Kansas City Royals. No, this is but sir, I appreciate it, and I like that you came across that. You came across the anecdote with Howard Stern and Isaac Stern, but seriously, I mean, you caught this cable wave, and it's I think cable TV it's propping up sports, and it's made figures like Dan Patrick, and I think it's going to be interesting where we go from here, because cable's really the story of sports in the last 35 years.
John, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks, Dan.
That's John Wertheim. He has written a great book. It's called Glory Days, the Summer of 1984, 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever. Now available online wherever books are sold. Your phone calls are up next. McLovin has an Against the Grain. Anything else you want to add to this?
Yeah, it's applying analytics to the very, very important practice drills we've been seeing around the NFL.
I want people to stay with us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, your phone calls are up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kucherov makes a little move. Hafid and Fop, hold on! Score! Pollard!
What a play.
Great feed from Kucherov to Pollard. It's 2-1 Lightning with 6:45 left in the second.
Okay, 2-1 Lightning in the second. You can't sound like that. And then your color analyst going, what a play.
Kucherov makes a little move. Hafid and Fop, hold on! Score!
What a play.
That's courtesy of the Lightning Radio Network, as if you couldn't tell. 970 WFLA. Pick up a Discover card. Discover that Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report, limitations apply. Yes, Eden.
The color guy is kind of like, if you remember in the Rocky movies, there's the other announcer who just sits there, yeah. And his only line in all 15 Rockies is, this is incredible. That's all he says. No energy. This is incredible.
Yeah. In case you're just joining us, looks like Kawhi Leonard will miss Game 5, expected to miss Game 5 of tonight's Jazz-Clippers game, according to the mothership, with the knee injury suffered in Game 4. Also, Chris Paul is in the COVID protocol right now, and no other update on either one of those stories. A couple of phone calls in here. Ian in Virginia. Ian, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, so I was listening to you guys talk about some of the most famous Kevins out there, and I think that you're missing a very glaring Kevin. When I think of the name Kevin, I think of Catherine O'Hara in the 1990 magnum opus of Mr. Kevin McAllister. Kevin McAllister has got to be the most famous Kevin out there.
All right, Home Alone. Robot. All right, thank you, Ian. I mean, not a real character, but yes, Kevin in Home Alone. Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, am I the first hillbilly redneck to be on your show? I don't hear no rednecks on your show. I just wondered.
I don't know. We don't usually screen calls that way by asking if you are or you're not. But
okay. Listen, me and my granddaughter's watching a ball game out last night in Milwaukee. She's 9 years old. She plays youth league basketball. About the fourth quarter, we're drinking Kool-Aid, eating popcorn, and she says, "Pop, why are they letting one guy beat them?" And I thought, "Damn, She's 9 years old. She's got a little bit of a basket IQ. And why can't they put that big, tall Greek freak down on the block and teach him a damn jump hook or something?
I'm right there with you, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck, and say hello to your granddaughter. Thank you, Pop-Pop. You're right. Why is that one guy able to do all the scoring? He's absolutely correct with that. Bob in Seattle joins us. Hey, Bob.
Hey, DB.
Hey, bud.
6 foot, 180. 1984, the greatest rock and roll mullet album came out, 1984, by Van Halen. And I wanted to get your opinion on what would happen if the media, how would the media react if a guy like Charles Oakley would just put a hard foul on Kevin Durant? I mean, how would we accept that today? And who would that be?
Yeah, you don't have those guys anymore. And thank you, Bob. Thanks for the phone call. You have a hard foul. I mean, you saw the Joker in that bow out game against the Suns. That's a hard foul. That would be a playoff foul. Inadvertently hits him in the face, but he did get a lot of the ball. But it's just the windup there, and that's why he would. But, you know, 10 years ago, you're not getting thrown from a game for that. Certainly a playoff game. Certainly not the MVP. But it just, times are different here. And protecting these players. Like, I don't like a cheap shot, but I like a shot to remind you of, you know what, where this is still a physical game. I mean, basketball, it doesn't appear to be physical the way it used to be. And in a lot of ways, that's good. But I do think there has to be room for you're able to, you know, use force when you need to. All right, McLovin, do you have something for me with Against the Grain?
It's 2 minutes left in the segment.
Okay, well, how much did you need?
I think I might need 3 minutes for this.
3 minutes?
Yeah, because after the analytics tease, I prepared a whole Aaron Rodgers, LeBron James angle to the whole thing, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't say that. You undersold it, and I thought, all right, and I'll give McLovin 60 seconds.
Well, yeah, you put three callers in front of Against the Grain? I don't know.
They've been waiting. Yes, Eden.
Maybe Todd has a limerick.
Here's one. Chris has a limerick. You're doing your fans a disservice by not giving Brooklyn Fritzy a purpose to work on his craft to make us all laugh with his names in mock headline circus. That's Matt Hughes who sent that in, I believe. Of course, Todd forwarded it to me. Yes, Paulie.
And like Fritzy's, those words barely rhyme. They're very forced.
Oh, no, that wasn't. This is Matt Hughes. Sports names are okay, spring or fall. Mock headlines might be a ball. But Dan is correct. When there's not much to expect, the limericks are the least worst of all. Okay. They're lamericks, but I'm entertained by them. All right. I'm entertained by them. All right, coming up next hour, True or Not True. It's a new game. McLovin has this incredible Against the Grain segment. Right?
Incredible is it's a really strong word. Passable?
Yeah, but I'm trying to have people, you know, join us next hour. Is it great or awful? Like,
Which is better for your purposes here?
If it's entertainingly awful, then that's good. But if it's just plain great, then okay, then I can sell that.
It's impossible to rate, one of our expressions. It's not overrated or underrated. It's impossible to rate.
Fritzy, why don't you write up another limerick? Might as well throw that in there,
why
too.
Why not? I'm on the case.
Nick Wright, popular Fox Sports 1 First Things First co-host, will join us. He's got some strong opinions on the Milwaukee Bucks performance last night and with Kevin Durant as well. Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We are back after this. Close out the second hour with M-Drive, M-Drive Boost and Burn. Go to the website. They have a lot of great things to help you get started in your day, the supplement I take every day. M-Drive Boost and Burn will help you drop unwanted pounds, give you energy. You need that for your summer plans. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn helps build lean muscle and burn body fat. You can find M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop, or online, mdrivedan.com. You get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose. Well, there is a lot to lose. Those LBs. Get lean. Get strong. Look your best. Get that energy for the summer. MDriveDan.com. Tough to keep that weight off as you age, but you can fight back with MDrive Boost and Burn. Go to MDriveDan.com today. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with MDrive. MDriveDan.com, or you'll find MDrive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. MDriveDan.com.